Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man.
This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And we are coming at you from dinner. Yeah, we are actually going to actually had a late start tonight. I just got a message from RTL on Facebook. Sorry, got distracted. That's because I'm a professional radio broadcaster here. I get distracted by Facebook messages. We got kind of a late start. Angie's going to have a little bit of a procedure on Wednesday, so this is her last meal.
My last real meal.
Yeah, until
for a couple of days.
Wednesday night. Yeah. So we're going to eat our food. I'm going to try to not chew too loud tonight. So, anyways, what's up with you?
This your piece of bread that's getting ready to go down?
Yep. I got some Chipotle, which is really good. I love Chipotle.
I got Panera.
Yummy. Panera and Chipotle right next to each other, so that helps. I was like, man, I don't want to drive all over town to go one place and go to another. So luckily, places we chose right next to each other. So let's give an update about what's going on in our lives, because I know people are completely riveted by what we have going on in our lives. We are almost done with our move. Thank goodness. Sorry. There's no burp button on the studio here. So.
I say we are officially done with the move. Now comes the decluttering, the unpacking.
Yeah, that's we are kind of living in a maze right now of stuff. I don't want to use the shit word, but I'll just use the stuffed word. A maze of stuff.
You were doing so good. Don't cry.
Over here. We have, but we're getting there. I'm getting about it. I'm getting some messages here. And RTL, I mean, Angie and I are naked right now. So if you want to get nude, that's fine.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do this. I'm down with the sickness.
Down with the skitty.
Hell yeah. Do our show in our birthday suits. Let's see. Well, okay. I'm kind of discombobulated here. I'm playing by the seat of my pants. I had a nice script. Not really script. I had questions all written out. Well thought out questions for today. And I lost them. So I am. We're flying. You're flying solo.
Typical Ryan.
Yeah, we're going to go balls to the wall.
I never write out questions. That's a you thing.
I know. I'm weird like that.
I just like to see where the conversation takes me.
Well, I like to have some kind of, you know, backup in case I don't know the conversation goes somewhere I can't go any farther than it goes. You know,
turn that train around.
That's true. That's why I have the question to give me directions about how to get back on track. They do want to talk about this past weekend. We got to go up to. Well, I got to.
Yeah.
I got to go up to investigate the Lockett House in Salem. Sailor's Creek Battlefield is where it is, but it's just outside Farmville. It's a Civil War hospital that's never been investigated before. First time a team hasn't been allowed to go up there. It's a very, very cool location. We got some EVPs, but the experience was just amazing, and I was very lucky to be able to go up there and hang out with some friends and do some investigating with Crop. So luckily we've been invited to come back, so we can.
Maybe I'll get to go this
time. Yes, we'll definitely, hopefully our babysitter's child won't have the mumps again this time, and she'll be able to. Now, next time will be the measles or like scarlet fever or some shit. She'll get tuberculosis or some shit. It's so weird. It's diseases that no one's ever had in like years. I mean, she had the mumps, and apparently that's a big thing. People are getting the mumps now, so.
Vaccinate kids.
Yeah.
Just if you don't want to, you don't have to.
But it's a good suggestion to vaccinate your kids if you feel so inclined. So tonight we have RTL Paranormal, and I'm interested to know what the RTL stands for.
Me as well.
That'll be one of the questions we'll be asking tonight.
That's a great question.
That's an inquiring mind would like to know. My noggin. That's where I came up with it. And plus, she helped. She suggested it. So I've got three phone numbers on the line. I'm going to go ahead.
I bet it's RTNL.
That's what it is. RTNL. I'm going to go ahead and put them on the show tonight. Oh, yes. I need to mention before we do that, March 30th, there is a joint investigation at Hanover Tavern and Scotchtown. Transcend and RVA Paranormal are going to be putting it on.
It'll be a good time.
Good times had by all. Lots of spirits to go around. A lot of EVPs, a lot of fun activity.
Was I in the hospital
out there. No, it was last time we went was September. Don't know why I didn't go.
No, because of the baby.
Oh, yeah, well, I know why. I know why we get a babysitter. But last time I went, we had a lot of great activity. It was a lot of fun. Plus, the teams are pretty awesome, too. So if you have a chance and you're in the Richmond area, look them up on Facebook, the Joint Investigation on Scotchtown, and it'll be definitely worth the time. But if you're like, you know what, I want to wait till April to investigate. I feel like I want to investigate.
I got the itch.
Yeah, I need to wait. I need to investigate. I want to investigate a log cabin. Well, you're in luck. Because it just so happened to be on a haunted location that is in a log cabin. So if you have the itch, if you have a cabin fetish, and you're like, damn, I really gotta investigate a freaking cabin right about now. April 13th, $25 a person. You can come investigate the cabin on 360 and help raise money to buy flags to place at Evergreen Cemetery on May 25th.
It's a great cause.
It is a great cause and a great location to investigate. So you can investigate. Check this out. You can investigate Scotchtown, where Patrick Henry lived. Investigate Henry Tavern, where Patrick Henry actually ate food. He probably had tea and crumpets over there or some shit. He probably drank ale or had whatever they ate back then. Meat tenderloin. So probably he had a pork loin, I'll bet.
Beef Wellington.
Yes, he ate beef Wellington at Henry Tavern and drank ale. And probably sang some drinking songs over there while I wrote the Declaration of Independence. That's not the wrong one. Yeah. To give me liberty, give me death. And then 2 weeks later, you can investigate the land where the Battle of Bethesda Church took place. You can actually investigate a Civil War battlefield. So, I mean, that's like the awesome paranormal trifecta of investigations there.
I mean, it's
this is like, you know, it's the equivalent of, you know, freaking, it's like, I can't even describe what it is. I want to say Disney World, but it's not. It's going to be really awesome. So, two investigations, three places. Man, mind blown. All right, guys. So, tonight we have RTL Paranormal. And what do you think? We should put them on the air? Have I flapped my gums?
Yeah, your gums are flapping.
Long enough? I think I got mouth cramps here. I've been talking so much. I'm going to put them on the show here. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Can you hear me?
Whoa. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. I can hear
okay.
You then. I can hear you now, though. What? Is that you? Huh? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on?
Well,
what
hello.
Is going on, guys?
How are you?
Man, we
not a damn thing.
We're over here eating our Panera and you know, chomping on fucking Chipotle, you know, having a good old time.
I'm sitting in a car so I don't wake up the family. I feel like a stalker right now in my own neighborhood. Maybe I should pull my pants up so I don't look too conspicuous.
What you do in your own private car is, you know, your own business. Is there a fault for looking?
Both hands are on the wheel. Both hands are on the wheel.
There you go.
Not the stick shift.
Oh, I'm very comfortable now.
There we go.
Well,
man.
I'm glad I'm on the show. I'm glad we're very glad that we're on the show finally. I think I met you for the first time at Edgewood a long time ago.
Yeah.
You and Dennis.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, I think I made a great impression on you because I haven't seen you ever since. I have that effect on people.
Dang it.
No, it was a lot of fun.
So,
I love Edgewood.
Edgewood is great. I think it's going through a transition of some sorts, but I haven't done Edgewood in a while, but I'd love to get back in there.
Yeah, you and me both.
So,
I got some great EVPs from out there.
Oh, especially the mill. The mill is great. And then I took my son one time, and his name was getting called all over the place from outside by a little girl inside the main house. And then during the event, the public ghost hunting event, I was talking to a guest, and while we were talking in the basement of the house, my back started burn a little bit, so you know, I asked a guest to look at my back when I pulled my shirt up, and once she was done throwing up and looking at my body, she saw that my back was, like, all scratched up. So, like, right there on the spot, the scratches started. I know. I, you know, once I pulled the shirt out, I looked like a Sharpay, so it was bad. But, yeah, the Edgewood was great. We've been blessed. We've been extremely busy for the past, you know, couple years, and especially this year, we have a lot of stuff going on. Not a whole lot of private investigations this year so far, but we've been doing a lot of public ghost hunting events. So, you know, we always love doing these events because, you know, with the proceeds going to the location, you know, they're always appreciative of, you know, getting people to, you know, come to the place and look at it. And that's what I like to do. I like for them to get sucked in with the ghost hunting. And once they get there, they see how great it is, and they want to come during the day, which, you know, helps, you know, local history and stuff, you know, with having people come, you know. So you always get them sucked in with the paranormal, and then you get them to come back again during the day to, you know, support the local history. So that's always great.
Yeah, man, it's great what you guys do for the locations. You know, like the Beacon Theater and was it Berkeley Plantation you guys are working with too?
Yep, we are working on actually Berkeley Plantation is very cool. We've been the first ones to go in there in like 11 years. They were very from what I understand, there was a group that went in there that did a TV show and left a bad taste in their mouth. They didn't follow the plantation's protocol or procedures and stuff, and it just kind of made them to the point where they didn't want to deal with paranormal groups anymore, and we just got lucky with that one, and I'm glad they gave us a chance because they've been happy ever since. So we're working on our third event there, hopefully in the next month, next couple of months. So we also got, let's see, in May, and I never been to this place before. We are going to do a public investigation at the Exchange Museum and Civil War Medical Museum, or the Exchange Hotel and Civil War Museum. Yeah, I've never been there before, and I watched the episode of Twisted Realm with the Exchange, and I watched the security footage of the postcard rack, which, you know, when I saw that, I got I got more excited about doing this event. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, that place is incredible. There's a lot of activity there. You definitely will not be disappointed. For sure.
Yeah, I can't wait, because we once we do the Exchange in May, we have some other ones lined up. We have Berkeley Plantation. We have Norfolk Masonic Temple lined up for this year. We have the Beacon Theater. And also, hopefully, we just got approved. We might be able to do an event in October over in Lorton, Virginia. It used to be called the Lorton Prison or Lorton Reformatory. And what happened was they transferred all the inmates to other locations, other correctional facilities. It just kind of went abandoned for years. And I believe it's the state that took it over and started slowly renovating it. And now it's called the Workhouse for the Arts Center, which the Arts Center program first started at the prison in 1906, I believe, and it just kept going. And so now it's renovated. Well, most of it is, and they have art exhibits. You can rent out space and stuff like that. And once again, I guess we were in the right spot at the right time and got approved to do a public ghost hunt over there, hopefully in October. So right now we're getting all the paperwork done and getting a game plan for that as well. So, yeah, we've been lucky and blessed this year. So
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are definitely keeping busy.
Just a full plate there.
Man, I mean, I look that investigation out of the Wharton prison sounds very interesting. I'd love to hear about that. Because
I have an idea in my head about when we do this event at Lorton is I would like to get some, because they do a reunion once in a while with all the correctional officers that actually worked at the prison, and you know, mm-hmm. they have dinner and they talk about the place and stuff. So the lady that I've been talking to, that is the event coordinator, she is going to talk to some of these correctional officers, and I know a couple too that used to be correctional officers, and have them come to the event and use them as trigger objects. See if that generates any activity, because you know, when you got former guards that work there, and if there's any spirits of any kind there, things are hopefully bound to happen during the event. So I just hope I don't get shanked by a ghost. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's always a good thing not to happen. That's for sure.
I might have to send. I might have to send somebody else to do an isolation session in the shower.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, Ray. Sorry.
Yeah, just don't drop the soap.
Damn it.
You know.
I'll have to kick the soap back to my face.
Is that Roger?
That's Roger in jail.
Yeah, he's in Facebook jail. That's why I don't get to talk to him too much. He's a repeat offender.
Oh, shit. Oh,
my
goodness.
Roger has been with the group since 2009. Unfortunately, Tim Hoover was supposed to chime in too, but unfortunately he's under the weather. But they've been around. Well, Tim just came back into RTO, but Roger's been since the beginning, since 2009, and he's our nerd. He's our techie. But
I'm the Sheldon, as they call me.
He's the Sheldon of RTO. So he's Roger and his wife Annie have been great as investigators, and always, you know, unfortunately with his job, it's hard to get him on a consistent basis. But when he's there, it's always great to have him and his wife.
So how did
unfortunately,
you guys get started?
I travel for a living. What's that?
How did RTL get started? I mean, how did you get your name, and what made you decide to start a team?
Well, it's kind of funny because when I first moved up here from Northern Virginia, I used to live not that far from I was like right in between D.C. and Alexandria in a town called Annandale. And once we moved up this way, you know, that's when the TV shows were popular, and I was like, you know, I've had experiences by myself, you know, on my own when I lived in Pennsylvania for a short while. And so, you know, when we got over here, when the shows were kind of hot, you know, I saw the shows and I'm like, oh my God, they actually have a bunch of nerds that actually do this stuff for fun. So this is how old I am. I started looking through MySpace for people that were into the paranormal, and that's when I met Tim Hoover. And, we were actually in another paranormal group when he was actually in a group, and he told me to go ahead and, you know, to be a part of it. So I think we investigated one place, and it was the cave in Yorktown where Blackbeard supposedly hid. But the founder of the group was more interested in playing World of Warcraft and actually learning about the paranormal. So we were like, you know what? We got to go. So we,
it's not going to work.
You know, we decided to, you know, get our own group together. You know, it was actually Tim, me, and this lady named Lori that lives in Norfolk. And it was just three of us. And then now we have like 10 or 11 people now. And it's always funny because all throughout the years, it's always changing and stuff, but the mission statement, you know, for the group and our goals were always the same. And it's just, it's, you know, as you and maybe even Dennis knows, it's hard to find people to join the group that meshes well with what you guys believe in, as well as mesh with the other people that are in the group. So, of course, personalities are going to clash, different opinions are going to clash, but right now, it's been a long time, but right now we have a group that is almost similar in personality and backgrounds that, you know, than, you know, the original group. So I'm lucky with that too. So, you know, I got a lot of people in the group now that are, you know, working hard that I really don't have to do a whole lot. Before these, you know, before all these people joined, I had a lot of stuff on my plate, and now I really don't, because there's actually people in the group that are enthusiastic and has passion in the group. And it's been a long time. I mean, I'm not saying that we never had that, because we did, but there's like a few spots in, you know, from 2009 until now that were really rough. But now I couldn't be more happy with the people that we have.
You guys definitely need that, or team definitely needs that dynamic where you can rely on each other and you trust each other to, and when you're in, like, you know, dangerous situations, because, you know, when you're on an investigation, all your team is like your family, you know?
Right.
Yes, it is.
So were you guys always RTL Paranormal, were you guys a different name before?
No, we were always RTL.
Okay. What is the RTL?
I heard you earlier wanting. Well, there's a inside joke that it either means Ray the Loser or Ray the Lover or whatever, but when we first came up with the term RTL, it actually stood for Real Lives, or the Real Truth Learned. And now, I, you know, it's just like, you know, do you really need an acronym? Do you really need to shorten it? So we just leave it at RTL. It doesn't really stand for anything nowadays. You know, we just leave it at that.
Well, I like
it. It's a lot easier to put that on a shirt.
Yeah. I mean, it adds to the mystery, too. You know? It's like, mm-hmm. This team looks interesting. They have a weird name. I don't know what they are. Let me call them.
Usually it's more like, Jesus Christ, another bunch of dorks in black shirts.
Yeah, what is it with people?
Like, how many more people?
Team, we wear black shirts, too. I'm like, what is it with black shirts and everyone wants to wear a black shirt?
I think it's the standard uniform for this line of work.
Well, yeah, a lot of us have a little bit of a belly, so, you know, and they always say black is slimming, so hell yeah. I'll go with black.
Yeah. Yeah, ghost hunters aren't the most in shape people in the world. Usually.
Hey,
well,
round is a shape.
Round is a shape.
That's true. Yeah, there we go. I'll use that next time. I mean, all we do is pretty much sitting in a dark room talking to ourselves. I mean, there's not much exercise involved in that.
Well, shit, I do that now in my own house, but usually it involves me in a fetal position asking, what the hell did I do wrong in my life?
Rocking back and forth.
What did I do?
That's right. Oh, my God, how did I get all these kids?
So,
why am I sitting in the car by myself talking to a phone?
Why am I naked?
Because
in the car
it's
by
quiet.
Myself? Weird. It's what the voices are telling you to do.
You've been talking to my therapist again?
That's yes. I have a direct line.
Hell, he's probably your therapist for all I know.
Yeah, we share a therapist. So when you
all right, well, now that I know, I'll come over to your house and we'll like share each other's medicine.
There we go. We'll swap.
I'll give you two blue pills for one pink one. You know, one of those kind of things.
Hey,
the
yellow ones are the best.
Yeah.
She knows she's a nurse. So. What What was your first paranormal experience like?
My first paranormal experience was I was living in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, and I wasn't the most Bible thumping person in the world. I used to get in trouble when I was a kid, and ended up in a group home in Pennsylvania. And once I graduated from high school, I had my own apartment, and it was right next to a cemetery. And you know, I was walking distance to my job. It was a fast food place, and you know, just weird stuff was going on. Like we used to have the old crank up windows in the apartment. You know, and you go, you know, you leave for the day and you come back and the windows are open. Or, you know, you go downstairs to the laundry room to do your laundry and you come back and you hear your TV blaring and you have no idea why. There was one time, it was an efficiency apartment, so the way it was set up was I had a couch by the front door, and if you look to your left, if you were sitting on the couch and look to your left, you can look down the hallway, and there's a bathroom on the right, and at the end of the hall was my bedroom. And for whatever reason, my door was closed, but the bedroom light was on. And something made me look down the hallway, and as I was looking down the hallway, you could see blackness underneath the doorway move from right to left, blocking the bottom of the doorway. And, you know, at first I thought it was, you know, my pet. You know, did I have a cat that time or a puppy? Either way, I thought it was one of my pets, and but she was, you know, laying on the couch. So I'm like, okay, this isn't right. And then, so I talked to a friend of mine, and he decided we should do a Ouija board session in my house or in my apartment. And he swears up and down, he wasn't messing around, and I swore up and down. But we were asking questions and stuff, and we got a little boy who said his name was Toby, and, you know, that he died, he died there. So we decided, well, we're next to the cemetery, so we're going to, you know, try, you know, to go all over the place looking for a Toby. And the closest thing I found was a headstone that said Tobias, and it was around the same age as, you know, what came out of the Ouija board session. So, but that was my first paranormal experience. And it got me more intrigued to wondering, you know, is there an afterlife? Is, you know, if there is, why are they still around? And then I started getting all these questions and stuff. And it wasn't until later on when the TV shows came that I realized that people actually did this, you know, for lack of a better term, as a living or as a hobby. And that's got me interested in joining groups and then forming RTL.
Yeah. Mine was
that's pretty
cool. Sleep paralysis.
Say that again.
Sleep paralysis is awful.
Yep.
I said that story is pretty cool, especially the part about Tobias.
Yeah. Yeah, just made me more interested. You know, whether or not it was just luck, you know, luck that I found a headstone that was similar to what we found during our session, or it was actually him, I couldn't tell you. But I just know some freaky shit was going on that wasn't drug induced. It was my 20s. What did you want? That's what we did in our 20s.
I did some shit in my 20s, too. You know, shit happens. And I'm still around, so. What happened? You had sleep paralysis?
Yeah, it as a teenager, a couple times, you know, felt something, like, sit down on the bed and wake you up, then you couldn't breathe and felt pinned down. I had that a few times, and then, you know, moved on and things like that, and then kind of got into this in the, like Ray said, watching the TV shows and stuff like that.
I know I had sleep paralysis when I was a teenager, probably from the time I was 16 until I was 18. It happened really regularly, and it was awful. Just awful.
It was sporadic for me, but yeah.
You guys started RTL Paranormal. Where was your first official investigation?
We did an abandoned bowling alley in Norfolk. It was me and Lori before Tim officially joined the group. And then after that, I can't quite remember. I want to say it was either the Squires Club in Norfolk or Boxwood Inn in Newport News or Applewood Colonial Bed and Breakfast in Williamsburg. But I want to say it was Boxwood, because I remember pulling up with Tim to do to have a meeting with them, and we were like in awe because of how big it was and how excited we were to catch a big place like this. And back then it was three owners ago, but their names were the Hewlicks, and they were like awesome. They were like probably the best people we've ever met. They took us in as family. I mean, we used to go over there for dinner, just for dinner, and just hang out. It always feels good to know that we're doing something the right way when you have people who tell you stuff like, business owners that say, look, I'm going to go away for the weekend or for 2 weeks. If you want, here are the keys. Go ahead and do whatever you want in here and, investigate and stuff, and just make sure you lock up when you're done. So, I mean, to me, that makes me feel like we're doing something right when they trust us with their own business. The owners, the Hewlicks back then, they used to do that with us.
Applewood's done it with us.
The owner. Yep, the Applewood. The Piccadilly. That was in Fredericksburg, and what it was it was a tea shop that was they basically rented the space of Smith Cottage in Fredericksburg. So they were running a tea shop in a historical building, and they say lock up when you're done. So, I always love stuff like that.
And we even had
it's always good.
Hello.
All the guys were talking the whole time, being rude, not letting you talk.
I know.
What the hell? Jesus.
We've even had people who were doing their private homes just kind of leave us there so they can run out for a while. And, we had just met them that day. So that's pretty cool, too, that they feel that comfort level with us, too.
That's really cool that you can that you put off that vibe where people, trust you to leave you and investigate their location like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all paranormal groups do this or not, but what we like to do is not consider clients or guests, guests at events, guests, me being half Italian, half Spanish, I was always taught about family and friends and being loyal to them and stuff. And that's how I consider these people, because a lot of our clients have become friends throughout the years. Some of our guests have invited us to their houses or on Facebook and stuff. They've been there for years, and that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. I enjoy them coming to the events and allowing us into their home for investigations and stuff. But what I really like is how, even after we're done investigating and stuff, years go by and we're still friends and stuff, and they're still, talking about how appreciative they are about what we did or what we tried to do. And you know, it really gets you into feels when you hear stuff like that, especially with me, because if you know anything about me, yeah, I might act like a dick, but, you know, I am kind of a bit of a softy. You know, it always feels good to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but positive stuff about you guys, for sure. So your reputation has made its way up here as well. It's awesome you guys have that connection with the people that you're able to help and people who come to your events and stuff.
We appreciate that. We try our best to do what we can to help, whether it's a homeowner or a historical location, or even, you know, doing something for the community. I mean, all these years, and you guys, and you know, your group knows this, when you guys do stuff to give back to the community. Right now for us, the way we're giving back is doing these public ghost hunting events at certain locations where the proceeds will go to restoration costs, or, for example, Berkeley Plantation in the wintertime. You know, not a whole lot of people come to visit in the wintertime, so they have to cut their staff in half, or cut, you know, their staff drastically, just so they're able to maintain with the payments and the utilities and stuff like that. So these kind of events help them out a lot too. And, you know, and when you hear, you know, all the good stuff, you know, that they say about you, it makes you feel good that you're giving back to, you know, in a way that you're giving thanks to them for trusting in us to do something for them, or to try to help them out by investigating their home the best that we can. So
that's awesome. It's always good to get back to the places that help you out, and like you said, drum up interest in these places as well. People come investigate at night. They're like, well, oh shit, maybe I'll come back during the day and take a tour, because our investigation was so much fun.
You know, and not to brag or anything, but I mean, I'm very lucky and proud to have, you know, the people that I have in the group, and it's especially, you know, having somebody who's good at what they do, like Roger's good at investigating and learning about all the different equipment that's coming out and how to use it. And, you know, because, you know, it seems like every week there's a new gadget coming out. And we have other people in the group like Ben, who's can make stuff for us, which is always cool. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, before, you know, there was a lot of stuff on my plate, and now I have a case manager with Tracy who basically takes care of like 90% of what we do. So I don't have to worry about all that stuff. She's the one that handles making, if we have to do an event where we make our, you know, everything is done by us, you know, it's funded by us. So we make the tickets. She goes and makes the tickets for the event. She calls all these locations that we're doing the events at to make sure there's rules and regulations that the guests have to abide by in order to attend the event. Make sure that the payments are on time, you know, make sure that the food is available that we're going to, you know, present to the guests during our events. She gets a calendar set up, a schedule. I mean, I don't have to do that stuff anymore. And, you know, it's always great to have less stuff on your plate so you could do a lot more stuff that you enjoy doing, which is, you know, it's always, I don't like titles and positions and all that. Yeah, I'm the founder, but it's a group decision. You can ask Roger or anybody else that if I have something that's available for the group. Hey, I got a heckler. No. if there's stuff that's available for us, you know, I don't make the decision. I make it a group decision. Everybody has a say in it. You know, because I don't want it to be considered a group per se. I want it to be considered a family. And that's what it is. We're all family. We have we have a Native American seer, Kalunya Howie Traveler, and her husband, who's an empath, Wolf, and they and their daughter Candace, they have as much say as I do, and they're pretty much the newest members in the group. Like Lindsay. Lindsay is a new member in the group as well. We have Susan, who helps us. She helps us with her knowledge in the paranormal field, and on top of that, she helps us make sure that the shirts that we make for people to buy, she knows when to get them, where to get them, how to get them, and all that other stuff. So her and Tracy work back and forth with each other, making sure all this stuff that I used to do, I don't have to do. So we're all working together, and we always consider ourselves a big family. We text each other all the time. We call each other. I messaged Roger the other day because I got another Facebook request from him, and I wasn't sure if that was him or not. And he's like, "Yeah, that's me. I'm in jail again." So I'm like, "All right."
Damn it, Roger.
So,
yeah, it's a hobby.
Hate yourself.
Can't.
So I'm not going to ask you a favorite location, but I want to put you guys on the spot. So I'm going to ask you, is there a location that you really want to go investigate that you haven't gone out to yet? Not counting the ones you have planned coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, but
I mean, there's always a lot that you hear about.
Oh, I mean, yeah, just there at the top three. Just give me just your top one.
Well, for me, I was just texted by the friend of mine I was telling you about up in Pennsylvania. There's a place called what's the name of it? I want to say Liverwire. Livermore Cemetery I believe it's in Blairsville, Pennsylvania. From what I understand was it's an old cemetery that's near an abandoned town that was flooded over when the new dam was built. So when in the summertime when the water's low, you can actually see remnants of the homes. And I'm really down with that because Pennsylvania, I've been there a few times to investigate. And I got to say, Pennsylvania is like right up there with Virginia. I was lucky enough to investigate the fire station in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, plus a private home where a teenage boy was shot in the head accidentally. We investigated the home. And then a couple years later, the parents found out that we were up there, so they messaged us and asked if we can come back. And I was like, because they wanted to do their home as well as the place where he got shot at. So, that kind of stuff, I don't want to say honor because it sounds kind of dark, but when you have the parents asking you to come back to do something with them. You feel obligated because, you have to, because if you say no, then you're not being the investigator that you should be. Because you're there for a reason, and that's not just to capture proof of the paranormal. It's also there to help people, whether it's they're dead or alive. So if the parents want you to come up there and travel and whatever, you don't hesitate and you don't say no. You just do it.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
Definitely
yeah,
the
exactly
cemetery.
Right.
That the cemetery.
Your plan if you get them an answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you find, and not only did I investigate the location with the parents of the kid, but also the police officer who was first to respond. That made a lot of that made an impact on me to have. To see, a small town, it's almost like, remember the song for Cheers where it says everybody knows your name? Well, that's Mount Pleasant. Everybody knows everybody. So to have the parents, whose father was a firefighter or a fireman, and he was there at the scene, as well as the first responder, who was a police officer during the investigation. It's an emotional impact. It takes an impact on you emotionally, and I was more than honored to try to be there and try to help as much as I can to help them gain some kind of closure or some understanding of what's going on. And we did get some good stuff. So, yeah. Uh-oh.
Anybody
I think
else?
I put him to sleep.
No.
What about you, Roger?
Someone else to respond.
I don't know. I could, for my line of work, I travel, and unfortunately, a lot of times I don't know what's coming up. But I do know after this next run, I'm going to end up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and there's that one Ghost Adventures, the one that Ghost Adventures did, the Remington Arms or Savage Arms. I can't remember the name of it, but it's from the plant that I'm working at. It's probably about a mile away. I wouldn't mind getting in there one night and sneaking around. Because I remember watching the show one time, and you can actually see the exhaust stacks of the power plant from when they were on the roof.
What about you, Tracy?
All right, don't laugh at me, but I've not done St. Albans, and I would really, really love to go there.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I love that place. Awesome location.
I wouldn't mind
definitely go out there.
I wouldn't mind investigating a strip club once, but whatever.
Hey, if you do that, I'll be right there with you.
We'll
do a joint investigation.
We need a bunch of dollar bills for Trigger Object.
I'm sure Dennis wouldn't mind joining us in that endeavor.
And glitter.
Oh, it depends if it's
glitter.
And baby powder. There you go.
With lots of glitter. Yeah.
Lots of cornstarch. Lots of cornstarch.
There you go.
So
what's your favorite piece of equipment to use when you guys investigate?
That's a little personal.
Well, I know. We dive deep into hardcore journalism here.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I got a Spectre Cam 4. They don't make them anymore, but it's got the one with the tracking and low light, low lux, full spectrum camera. And we've gotten a couple of pretty interesting things with it. So that's my favorite one to use.
Yeah, with his Spectre Cam, we that's the one where we caught the shadow at Beacon Theater.
The Shadow Beacon Theater, the figure at the in Smithfield.
The anomaly at Applewood that looked like a head.
Yeah. And then we got where it looked like we were doing a house up by Richmond, and it caught something coming out of the house and took a left in front of the camera. The figure walked through the car. It came down the stairs through the car towards the camera and turned.
Yeah, that one was crazy.
Wow.
I'll send you those videos. I think we have them somewhere on our page.
They're on there. Yeah.
What's your favorite, Tracy?
Oh, let me think. I do like the trail cam. And I think, though, that the Echo Box, one of the apps, would have to be my favorite.
And
yeah, like
I'm not a technology guy. I'm not tech savvy. I still have to ask Tracy and Roger like how to turn on my computer. That's how stupid I am. But I love audio, and you can't beat a digital recorder as far as I'm concerned, because that's where the meat and potatoes come in when it comes to catching data. The majority of the, and I hate using the word evidence, but the lack of a better term, the majority of the evidence that you capture are going to be audio. And I love listening to audio. I love doing audio review.
You know, speaking of audio, my next question was actually going to be, do you remember what your first EVP you ever caught was?
Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yes. No, just don't,
okay,
don't tell
me. Hold on, you ready? I think the first one sounded like this. That was it.
Oh, man, that's life-changing right there. Holy shit. Damn.
But when you're first starting in the field and you know it wasn't any of you guys or in the group and you hear something, or even if you leave it stationary by itself and you know nobody was in there and you get a whisper or a breath, I mean, yeah, then you get excited because, you know, you caught something finally, and then you, not to sound stupid or anything, but you kind of broke your cherry in the field. You finally got an audio, so now you start paying attention more and more to stuff, and the more you start learning how to use your audio program or your recorder, you start listening and paying attention more with your headphones or earbuds, and you start catching better stuff and better stuff. And like the most recent one, we have Lindsay, who just recently joined the group. She's been coming to the events, and finally she joined our group. And she came and investigated the Masonic Temple with us in Norfolk. And they had some crazy-ass pictures, these paintings, in the dining hall, just leaning up against the wall. And we put a recorder there, and then later in the night, it was just me and her trying to do our session or whatever. And her recorder, and this is like, you know, one of the first EVPs she catches like a Class A, that in a whisper it said, "My paintings," in a long, drawn-out breath. And you should have seen how excited she was when she texted me. And you could tell she was excited because it was in capital letters and a lot of exclamation points. Mm-hmm. So you knew she was excited.
But
she didn't call us at 3 a.m. to tell us about it.
Yeah, I told her that she's lucky she did, because I would have punched her in the face if she called me at 3 in the morning.
She was going to.
But that's how excited and passionate we are. When we get to hear something, we want everybody to hear it. And it makes us want to go back more and more and find out, okay, who was the one that whispered? Why are you still there? Are you attached to the building? Are you attached to the painting? Or are you attached to the building but admire the painting? You know, what other energies are there? What other spirits are there to, you know, then you start having all these other questions about the place. And that's what I enjoy. I enjoy watching the look on the people in my groups, you know, the face, the expressions they do when they get excited, or how their eyes widen, you know, when they get excited because they caught something. You know, it's almost like being a parent, and you see your kids learning to do stuff on their own for the first time, and you get that little bit of, you get that smile of pride or whatever. That's how I feel, because I know that feeling. I've been there before, and I still get it once in a while, but to see other people get it is always fun. It's always fun for me to watch them to get that, you know, that first great catch. And now that's all they want to learn is everything they want to, you know, everything they can about the paranormal. So
that's, yeah, you're right. The first time somebody hears an EVP during an investigation and they're like, "Whoa, wait a second. What did you say?" And they just, you get something, like something clicks with them. Like, "Hey," because it's different. You see, you watch it on TV, you know, and people are getting stuff, but you don't really have that connection. You know, it's like you believe in it, but you're not 100% until it actually happens to you, and you know.
Well, then it's,
that voice wasn't any of you.
And then you start, like with me, I like to laugh at myself. I like to catch myself doing dumb stuff. Like I'm watching, I haven't done it in years, but I started recently watching some of the paranormal shows out there, and you know, they always put on an audio clip of something that they say they caught, and they put the word out of what it's saying, and it's like, did you hear that? And all you hear is, and they say, look, it's yeah. Satan. I'm like, no, it's not what they say. That's not Satan. It's, that's all I'm hearing. So I'm like wondering how you got $1 million contract or $1 million TV show and your audio is suckier than the ones that we captured. And I have it on SoundCloud. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
hear that?
Yours sound like what I do. It sounds like me after I have about, you know, 3 or 4 cigarettes. And then, but I got EVPs that are like clear as day. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Well, the worst is when they play music underneath the EVP. So you're trying to hear what they're saying, but there's like really loud, like violins or something, like intense music playing in the background. So you're like, oh, I can't really hear it over the music you have playing.
Makes me want to push my TV.
And then it drowns out what they, you know, drowns it out.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's here's a question. Do you guys like the paranormal shows, or do you think it helps us out, or do you think it's more of a hindrance?
My personal opinion is most of them are just trying to fill 40 minutes of content. The ones that are out now, I mean, I used to like Ghost Hunters, but, I mean, at least you'd see that they're doing stuff, but now it's just, most of the shows are for entertainment purposes.
Oh, I hear Ghost Hunters is coming back soon.
I heard there's something going on, but it probably won't be back on Sci-Fi. But
with me, I've noticed throughout the years, once Ghost Hunters first came on and Ghost Adventures, anything after that, it's been a lot of cookie-cutter kind of shows. It's all the same format. Like,
yeah.
You know, you go to the beginning, you find out the location, you do a client interview, then you talk about where you're going to sit, and then you're going to see a session or two, and then everything is very serious. And I understand that. And investigating is serious, but you don't see, like, the B-reel, you know, the B part, you know, the funny parts, you know, in the show. You don't see how the team members mesh well with each other by joking around, or you don't see the personal side. You don't see the pranks that we do. I mean, Roger and I mm-hmm. can tell you tons of stories about things that happened during investigations that
strange
that
and
were
strange
not,
and disgusting noises.
You know, you don't see all that much. I mean, I think the closest I've ever seen where they take the lighter side of paranormal investigating would be, I don't think, it's not on anymore, but Paranormal After Party, or the one that's on now, the Ghost Brothers. But other than that,
yeah,
it's the same thing. Everybody's serious. Everybody's talking about death. Which, yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to be serious during your investigation. That's not what I'm talking about. But you got to see the other side. You know, you got to see the joking around, the relationship between the group members and what they're doing in between takes and all that other stuff. That's the stuff I like. Like the beginning of Ghost Hunters, the very first season where you kind of saw that, the personal side of, you know, you got to see inside their house, or you got to see how stupid that one guy, that dude run guy, or, you know, you got to see the other stuff that, you know, you don't normally see on TV shows anymore. That's the stuff I love to see. I like to see why a ghost hunter, if they were on a show, why the ghost hunter became a ghost hunter. I want to see what they do, because it's not all fun and games. You know, there's times where their wives are going to be, or their girlfriends are going to be pissed off going, oh, my God, you're going out again.
Mm-hmm.
What about me and the kids? You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah,
you know, you got to schedule investigations. Like with me, I got to schedule investigations around soccer tournaments or, you know, why are you going out all the time? So I got to, you know, make sure that she gets to go out once in a while. And I'm staying at home, you know, knee deep in poopy underwear from a 5-year-old and a teenager that doesn't want to talk to me anymore because he's all about Fortnite. You know, that's the stuff I don't mind watching, because you get to see that they're also human. You know, it's not just a celebrity, but they're human.
Yeah, you like you want to have that personal connection. Like the first few seasons of Ghost Adventures was kind of like that, when it was Zach, Nick, and Aaron. They would all joke around with each other, and you know, it felt like they, you know, they were good friends. You know,
yeah.
And you could feel it when you watched the show. But like you said, you want to have that personal connection with the people you're watching.
Yeah, like you were talking about Ghost Adventures. They used to joke around all the time. Now, when you go watch an episode of Ghost Adventures, Zach walks around like he took three hits of Thorazine, and he's doing a Thorazine shuffle all over the place. It's like monotone. So,
yeah.
I mean, no, you know, I'm not busting on him because, you know, his paycheck's a little bit more fatter than mine, but I'm just saying, that's just how I see it. It's like, you know, I just want to see the more personal side, the more,
yeah.
The lighter side of stuff. You know, if you can able to make a show that you can mix it all in, you know, the family side, the friendship side, the investigation side, and then what they do on the outside for the community or whatever to help out somebody, that, you know, that's an awesome show to me.
Yeah, it helps if you care about the people who you're watching. You care what happens to them, not just the evidence that they capture. And you're right, it was,
yeah.
They look at like a business more than, you know, paranormal investigating. It feels like anyway. So.
Right.
I mean, that person.
Go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just out in Las Vegas a few weeks ago, and I figured, well, what am I going to do tonight? Because I was flying out in the morning, and it's like, well, they got that museum out there, you know, from the guy, you know, from Zach's museum. And it's, well,
yeah.
First of all, you can't take pictures. There's no recording devices allowed in there. So figure if you're going to run a museum like that, let people try to catch some stuff, you know, but
yeah.
You know, their thing is that it would ruin the people's experience in there. I don't think so. But
no, they're gonna enhance it.
Yeah, but you know, you got people lined up to go into this place, but they're just being shuffled through.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't take pictures, I mean, I love taking pictures wherever
yeah.
I go. That would suck if I can't go out there and can't even take a picture of what I'm looking at.
Yeah,
you know.
They're just trying to control everything and make a few bucks off the name.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how it is these days.
Yeah.
So, well, we're about out of time here, actually. A few minutes over
right.
The time limit here. But I just want to thank you guys for coming on the show and talking with me tonight. Hope you guys had a good time, and
it was fun.
If you guys want to, you know, pimp yourselves out for a little bit, let us know. Let people know where they can find you. If you have any videos on YouTube or, you know, how they get in touch with you, now's your opportunity.
Yeah, he usually does this.
Anybody?
Okay.
Well, since Ray's not answering.
you can find us on Facebook.
We scared Ray away.
RTL Paranormal on Facebook, and there are a lot of videos out there on Facebook. There's some on YouTube, but mostly on Facebook.
Yeah, we put all of our stuff on, you know, with the client's permission, it goes on Facebook.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate thanks
it.
For having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And no problem. Hopefully we can get you up to the cabin sometime to investigate.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Thanks
great.
A lot.
Hey, have a good night.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Right.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.